जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरीवर धारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरीवर धारी Jana 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 Jana
Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad ki jai. Adanta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Sri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Sri Sida Thakrishna Gopinath Sham Gunaradha Kunigiri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamana Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. I'd like to begin this auspicious occasion with a cell phone check, please. Cell phones should all be off or silent. And what is that machine? What is that?
Camera.
What does it do? This takes still pictures, right? I think hearing is more important than photography.
Mark, I think it's video recording.
That's why I asked. I actually think hearing is more important than videography also, to tell you the truth. I don't think there's going to be any special visual event here today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, yes, that helps. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 2, Text 38, 16, 36, 37, 38. Nara Shabde, Kahe, Sarba, Jibir, Nichoy, Ayana, Shabdete, Kohe, Tahar, Ashray, Nara Shabde Kohe Sarba Jibir Nichoy, Ayana Shabdete Kohe Tahar Ashray, Nara Shabde Kohe Sarba Jibir Nichoy, Ayana Shabde Te Kohe Tahar Ashray. Someone else.
Nara Shabde Kohe Sarva Jivera Nichai.
Nara Shabde Kohe Sarva Jivera Nichai.
Ayana Shabde Te Kohe Tahar Ashray.
Ayana Shabde Te Kohe Tahar Ashray.
Ladies. Nara Shabde, by the word Nara. Kohe, one means. Sarva Jibir, of all living entities.
Entities.
enjoy the assemblage. Ayana Shabdete, by the word of Ayana. Kahe, one means. Tahar, of them. Ashray, the refuge. The word Nara refers to the aggregate of all the living beings. And the word Ayana refers to the refuge of them all. Ateva tumi hao mul narayan e eka hetu shuna tutiya karan. You are therefore the original Narayan. This is one reason. Please listen as I state the second. Om ajnana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya shakshur militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tathapi Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stam E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Saptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishapam Sute Devi Radhamani Hori Priye Vancha Kopatadurbhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this second chapter, Kaviraj Goswami wants to establish the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to do that, he first needs to establish the identity of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Vishnu Tattva. To do that, taking evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam in the section concerning the Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Lord Brahma steals Krishna's calves and cowherd friends, and then later realizes that he's blundered and offers his prayers to Lord Krishna. So here, Kaviraj Goswami is essentially paraphrasing Lord Brahma's prayers. And Lord Brahma is arguing or submitting that Lord Krishna is the original Narayan. And here, the word, he's taking the etymological analysis. Nara refers to all the living beings, the aggregate of them all, and ayana means the refuge for them. So you put them together and you get Narayan, the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is the original Narayan. He's the original Narayan. And now he's going to argue further to establish that. Jibir Ishar Purushadi Avatar Taha Shava Hoite Tamar Aishwarya Apar. The direct lord of the living beings, direct lords of the living beings, are the Purusha incarnations. But your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. The Purusha incarnations are Mahavishnu, the Parvadakshay Vishnu, and the Kshiradakshay Vishnu, who are involved in the creation of the material world. Ateva atishartumi sarva pita tomar shakti tetar atara jagat vokshita. Therefore, you are the primeval Lord, the original father of everyone. They, the Purushas, are the protectors of the universes by your power. The point made is that the Purusha incarnations are expansions of an expansion of Lord Krishna. So you're the father of everyone because you're the original source of these Purusha incarnations who could be considered directly the fathers of the living entities. You are the source even of the Purusha incarnations. So you are the original personality of Godhead. Nader ayana yate kodaha pavam ateva hau tumi mul narayan. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayan. These Purusha incarnations are the shelters of all living beings, and Krishna protects even them. Purport. The controlling deities of the living beings in the mundane worlds are the three Purusha avatars. But the potent energy displayed by Sri Krishna is far more extensive than that of the Purushas. Sri Krishna is therefore the original Father and Lord who protects all creative manifestations. Is that the manager's telephone or someone else's? Thank you. Sri Krishna is therefore the original Father and Lord who protects all creative manifestations through his various plenary portions. Since he sustains even the shelters of the collective living beings, there is no doubt that Sri Krishna is the original Narayan. Yes. Tritiya karan shuna Sri Bhagavan. Tritiya karan shuno Sri Bhagavan. Ananta Brahmanda Bahu Vaikuntadi Dham. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, timely hear my third reason. There are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikuntas. Ite Yijata Jiva Tar Tri Kalika Karma Taha Deka Sakhi Tumi Jan Shabha Marma. Both in this material world and in the transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living beings in the past, present, and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know everything. You know the essence of everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana vivishyani chabhutani mam duvedana kashchana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani. I know the past of all living beings. Vartamanani charjana, I know the present for them also. Pavishyani Chabhutani, I know the future for everyone. This sometimes bewilders us because we ask, if the future is not yet decided, how can Krishna know it? If it's not yet determined, how can he know? Or if he knows, it must be determined. This is our way of thinking. But Krishna is beyond the limits of our speculative understanding and our limited realm. It's all open, and Krishna knows the whole story. Free will is there to a minute extent, and still Krishna knows what the future will be. That's Krishna. We don't know the trick. So for us, it seems bewildering. But for Krishna, this is everyday business. He knows past, present, and future. We know none of the above. The past we forget, or we didn't know to begin with, or we have a distorted representation of it. Read English history according to the English, it's one thing. Read English history according to the French, it's something entirely different. So what actually happened? Probably if you knew what actually happened, it's different from both of the above. There was one comment, American comment, history is bunk. History is bunk. Who knows? Krishna knows. We have our idea about history. But Krishna knows the actual history. Most history is, as it's taught, is essentially lies. But Krishna knows the truth about everything. Even our own history, I tell my history, it's all lies. And Krishna knows the truth of what actually happened in the past. He knows what's going on in the present. We're bewildered about that. We have imperfect senses, tendency to be illusioned. To cheat, even cheat ourselves. Imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, tendency to be illusioned. One more.
We make mistakes.
So, there's one of those mistakes we were just talking about. All the cell phones. Let's see everyone's cell phone. Come on, show them. No one wants to show them. Suddenly become very shy. Anyway, you've all got one, and they should all be off. I'm working for BBT Africa these days. Africa is a very poor continent, so if your cell phone rings, we'll be happy to accept it as a donation. Sell it on the African black market. So with our imperfect, with these four imperfections, we don't know what's going on in the future, in the present. We think we know, or sometimes we know that we don't know. But know it or not, we don't know it. What the present is something else again. And what to speak of the future? But Krishna knows past, present, and future. Mam tu vedana kashchana. But no one knows Krishna. That's Krishna's statement. He knows everything. He knows everything about every living being. But he's hidden. He's hidden from the view of especially the conditioned souls. Mam tu vedana kashchana. Hardly anyone knows Krishna. Bhaktya mam vijanati. He can be known only by devotional service, which conditioned souls are generally averse to, and therefore they're in the dark about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the devotees can know to some extent by Krishna's mercy. So, what is that? Aham Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivaso Sharanam Surya Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijamavya. In the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, if you move up a little bit, people who come in won't have to sit by the door. Then everyone, there's plenty of space, move a foot up. Everyone over here. Yeah, that's a good idea. You can leave that aisle in the back and then people can fill in the real estate over here. That's very good. Do the ladies have enough space? Not here. You can also move up a little bit. And again, the men might want to shift over this way a little bit and give the ladies a little more room. Shift right or shift left, as it is. A little bit. Mission's not accomplished until this road moves to the... Aham Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, the Lord is the maintainer of everything, the Lord of everything. He is the witness of everything, Sakshi. Aham Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam Surit. And he's also the abode, the shelter, and the best friend of all living beings. So, he's the witness of everything. And Tomar Darshane Sarva Jagatera Stiti Tumina Dekite Karo Nahi Stiti Goti. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. Maya Jyakshena Prakriti Suyute Sacharacha. The Lord said, I'm the Adyakshak, the supervisor. Supervisor means supervision. By seeing. How does a supervisor see that everything is running properly? He has to see. Okay, what's going on? Okay, thank you. It is irksome, by the way, and it is very good etiquette to turn your lousy cell phone off before you come in. Some preachers say, unless you're expecting God to call you. And that's not usually how he does it. The Lord is the Adyakshak, the supervisor. Sa Aikshata, Sa Svijata. By his vision, literally, everything goes on. Supervisor, he sees, but then he has to roll up his sleeves and get something done, or bark orders, or whatever it is. But Krishna, just literally by seeing, does everything. His glance is powerful. He glances over the cosmic manifestation. What is that? The Ambija Pradapita. He impregnates material nature with the seed of the living beings, and everything starts growing. Just by his vision.
That's all. He doesn't have to do more than that, just glance over the cosmic manifestation. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti-vanti. His senses are all powerful just by seeing. Pashanti panti kalyanti chiranti. He can do everything just by seeing. The glance is all powerful. Sometimes people have powerful glance at Mucchakunda, just glanced at that Kalyavan demon and burned him to powder just by his glance. Or a powerful person, just his glance. Hiranyakashipu, he was so powerful that if he raised his eyebrows, the demigods started trembling. So sometimes a glance can be powerful. You can look at someone and if you're in power, then just your glance is enough. Right? So Krishna is all-powerful, so his glance can do everything. Totally powerful. Just by glancing. So none can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. Everything is dependent on Krishna. From another point of view, what is that? Sashi Surya Netram in the Brahma Sangita. What is that? Yas Chakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahana. The sun is the eye of the Lord. Unless he's seeing with his eyes, nothing happens. None of us can live, none of us can breathe, none of us can move without the sun. We're all dependent on the sun. And the sun is the eye of the Supreme Lord. Narer ayanayate kar darshan tatat deo hau tumi mul narayan. You oversee the wanderings of all living beings. For this reason also, you are the primeval Lord Narayan. Purport. Sri Krishna, in his Paramatma feature, lives in the hearts of all living beings, in both the transcendental and mundane creations. As Paramatma, he witnesses all actions the living beings perform in all phases of time, namely past, present, and future. Sri Krishna knows what the living beings have done for hundreds and thousands of past births. He sees what they're doing now, and therefore he knows the results of their present actions that will fructify in the future. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire cosmic situation is created as soon as he glances over the material energy. Nothing can exist without his superintendence. Since he sees even the abode for the rest of the collective living beings, he is the original Narayan. Lord Krishna sees even what the Purusha avatars are doing and where they're lying, where the Karnadaksha Vishnu is lying in the causal ocean. Everything he sees is there. Are there any questions so far? Yes.
Maharaj, in the beginning, you mentioned that Krishna knows everything, the past, present, and the future.
Mm.
And then we also have our free will.
Mm.
So, Maharaj, just that kind of little doubt came to mind that, does he know what we're going to do with our
Yeah, I told you that. This is the doubt that arises. We anticipated that question. That we have free will, but he knows what we're going to do in the future, so isn't that a contradiction in terms? Because in our little world, that's a contradiction in terms, but Krishna is not a problem. You have freedom and still he knows what's going to happen. You're not going to process it, you're not going to figure it out.
No, I'm not trying to. I just wanted to maybe understand that. He doesn't, because he doesn't interfere with our free will. Though he knows what we're going to do, he doesn't interfere.
Yes. He doesn't interfere. He doesn't have to call every single shot. And still he knows. That's his capability. We have it to a certain degree. A baby has free will. A little child has free will, but you put him in a room full of candy, you know what he's going to do. You don't have to interfere with his free will. You just know. Something like that. Krishna knows all the predecessor conditions, all the previously existing conditions. Krishna knows. He knows the heart of every living being because he's got, he's there as a spy. He's there as the paramatma in everyone's heart. So he knows what your desires are, what your thoughts are, what your thinking, feeling, and willing are. He knows everything that happened in the past. He knows everything else that's going on in the environment. He's totally informed. Totally informed about the present, about the past. Therefore, the future is not a problem for him.
Can I just ask a further question from that? Would it be correct to understand that when one becomes a devotee, then Krishna may interfere in his free will if he is sincerely trying to surrender to Krishna?
That Krishna may interfere with your free will. If you become a devotee, that's not interference. Interfere with your free will. Interfere with your free will.
What do you mean by interfere?
You don't need to interfere with free will to direct things.
Yeah, that's a better word.
You know, you set up the conditions in such a way. And people will use their free will in a different manner. Yasyaham nugranami adishyeta tanamshana. You decide to surrender to Krishna, but you're attached to all your money. So Krishna takes it away. And he knows what you're going to do. You're going to try and build it up again. So, of course, you do. You try to build it up. Maybe you do build it up. But Krishna's there, and he just slaps you down again. Takes away all your money. And then you say, well, you know, that's life, it happens sometimes, and build it up again. And it takes it away again. And finally, say, all right, I surrender. Oh, that he doesn't have to interfere with your free will to do that, he just has to make your life miserable enough. That's called a blessing. Krishna says, I reserve that for those I really favor. Anugrana, those who I especially favor, I do that for them. Something else? Shall we read on a little bit? Krishna said, Krishna kohim, Brahma tomar na bhuchi vachan. Jivriti jale boishe she narayan. Krishna said, Brahma, I can't understand what you're saying. Lord Narayan is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karna ocean. I'm just a coward boy with a lump of yogurt and fruit in my hand. I don't know what kind of stuff you're talking about here. Brahma kohi. Jale jibe jay narayan she shav tamar amsham e shatcha bacham. Brahma replied, what I've said is true. The same Lord Narayan who lives in the waters and in the hearts of all living beings is but a plenary portion of you. Karanabdhi garbhodak chirodakshayi Maya dware shishti kore tate shabmai. Karnadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay, and Kshirdakshay forms of Narayan all create in cooperation with the material energy.
In this way, they are attached to Maya. Shetin Jal Shai Sarva Antaryami Brahmanda Brindare Atma Jay Purusha Nami. These three Vishnus lying in the water are the supersoul of everything. The supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha. Hiranyagarbhair Atma Kargadakshayi Yashti Jib Antaryami Kshirdakshayi. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of the aggregate of living beings, and Kshirdakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of each individual living being. So the Karnadakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of all show, all the universes. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the supersoul for one universe, and Kshirdakshay Vishnu is the supersoul for individual living entity. A Shapar Darshanete Ache Maya Gandha Turiya Krishner Nahi Mayar Sambandha. Superficially, we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya. But above them, in the fourth dimension, is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy. Purport, the three Purushas, Karnadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Kshirdakshay Vishnu, all have a relationship with the material energy called Maya, because through Maya they create the material cosmos. These three Purushas, who lie on the Karna, Garbha, and Kshir waters, are the supersoul of everything that be. Karnadakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective universes. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective living beings. And Kshirdakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of all individual living entities. Because all of them are somehow attracted to the affairs of the material energy, they can be said to have some affection for Maya. But the transcendental position of Sri Krishna himself is not even slightly tinged by Maya. His transcendental state is called Turiya, or the fourth dimensional stage. The Lord Vishnu is never connected with Maya, but there's a little connection. What is Lord Vishnu's business? It's in connection with the creation. Lord Vishnu's business is in connection with the creation. And the creation involves the material energy in Maya. So there's some affection. It's described in the second or third canto that just as a husband awakens the wife for sense gratification, the Lord awakens the material energy. So there's some connection there. The Lord is not the enjoyer of material energy. But little connection is there, removed, because the Lord doesn't touch the material energy. He just glances. And technically, Lord Shiva carries the glance and comes in touch with material energy. Lord Vishnu remains aloof. But his pastimes are all in relation to the material creation. Whereas Krishna has nothing to do with this. Not even slightly. We have the picture of God in the old Judeo-Christian sense, and he's totally busy in the affairs of the material world, pushing buttons or pulling strings, throwing thunderbolts, smiting people, whatever it is. It's all connection with the material world. And there's a spiritual world, but maybe he sits in the spiritual world running the material world, or we don't hear anything about what he's doing in a spiritual realm. But from Srimad Bhagavatam we hear about the pastimes of the original personality of Godhead with Krishna, who has nothing to do with creation, maintenance, destruction, nothing. The only way he's connected is that he expands himself, he deputes himself in the form of the Purusha avatars,
to handle all of these things. Vrindavanam Parityajam Panamekam Nagashchati. He never bothers to leave Goloka Vrindavan for the work of creation. He expands himself. He expands himself as a partial expansion. He appears as these Vishnus and runs the material creation.
Viradhiranyagarbhascha karanam chetyuva upadhyaha ishasya yatribhir kinam turiyam tat prachakshate.
In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Karan. But beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. Purport. The phenomenal manifestation of the Supreme Whole, the noumenal, that is spiritual, soul of everything, and the cause or causal nature are all the designations of the Purushas, who are responsible for material creation. The transcendental position surpasses these designations and is therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. This is a quotation from Sridhar Swami's commentary on the 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yadyapi tinir maya laya yavahar tatapi tat sparsha nahi shabhe maya par.
Although these three features of the Lord deal directly with the material energy, none of them are touched by it. They are all beyond illusion.
Etad ishan, etad ishanam ishasya prakriti sto pitad gunaihi na yujyate sadatmas tayar vita bhutis tad ashraya.
This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated in the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 111.38. Those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead do not identify with the material world, even while living in it. Pure devotees may deal with the three modes of material nature, but because of their transcendental intelligence and Krishna consciousness, they are not influenced by the material qualities. The spell of material activities does not attract such devotees. Therefore, the Supreme Lord and his devotees, acting under him, are always free from material contamination. Any questions?
What is the meaning of free from that position?
What is the meaning of?
The fourth realm, you said, free from position.
Free from?
The position word was used, I couldn't understand.
Free from position? The transcendental position surpasses these designations and is therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. Yeah, you've got the Virat manifestation, who's the universal form. You've got the Hiranyagarbha, who's described as the noumenal source of everything. And Karana, the ultimate cause of everything. Krishna's none of this stuff. Krishna has nothing to do with the universal form. Krishna has nothing to do with the being the soul of everything. And he has nothing to do with cause and effect of this material world. He's beyond all this stuff. This is all in relationship to the Purusha avatars. Krishna's Golokanami Nijadami. He's just staying in Vrindavan, playing.
say he's not there as God.
Hmm?
He's not behaving as God in the spiritual
world. In the spiritual world? Not behaving as God in the sense of controller. This is what God really does, he enjoys. But he's not behaving as the Lord of everything done. No one treats him like the Lord of anything over there. Treat him like a troublemaker. Treat him in so many different ways. Like a friend, like a child. Okay. Beloved lover. But not as the be-all and the end-all, the alpha and the omega, you know, cloud by day and fire by night, none of that stuff.
See, it's asking that Krishna is not interested in the material world, but for his own effects.
I'm sorry, you just got blotted out. Start again.
Yeah. See, so that Krishna is not interested in the material world. He's detached. But what happened when it's anyaknya?
What happens what?
Anyaknya, sacrifice, with fire sacrifice.
Yajna.
What happens in a yajna?
Yeah, that means that we ask Lord Krishna to come.
Okay, I'll take it. You're running away.
Her question is Krishna attracted to the yajna?
Krishna is not particularly attracted by yajnas. He may award the results just to keep, and he wrote the Vedic literature, so he has to make sure that everything goes on as according to Hoyle, they said, according to the Vedic statements. But he's not particularly interested in these ritualistic performances. Bhaktya Mahavijayanati. Krishna's interested in devotion. When the yajnas are performed, just like the yajnic brahmins, Krishna wasn't very interested because they weren't very interested in him. When he showed up personally or when the word was there, Krishna and Balaram are nearby. Brahmins, so what? Bunch of cowherd boys, you're messing up our yoga, get out of here.
Thank you.
But when the wives were approached, they immediately wanted to give everything. So that means Krishna was more interested in them than in the yogic Brahmins. The wives were not, they'd never gone to the Gurukul, they never learned the Vedic mantras, they weren't doing all the rituals. They were wives. Just help out in the background. And the pious Brahmins do the yogis. And Krishna didn't care about the pious Brahmins because they didn't care about it. There's the wives. Yes?
Maharaj, you said that Krishna has nothing to do with this material world because he resides in the Lord of Vrindavan. Now, we as a devotee, we are from the pole, you know, from the material world, and we had something to do with Krishna by worshipping him on the altar. So I was wondering, is it the Goloka Vrindavan Krishna on the receiving hand of our worship?
Can you speak louder, please?
Who is receiving our worship? Is the Purusha Avatar or the Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan?
Purusha Avatars? There's no difference. Purusha, they are the same person, they're just being presenting themselves differently. But if you're worshipping the Purusha Avatars, then they're receiving your service. Otherwise, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, he's receiving. Yayatamam prapajante tamstatam vajana. As you're approaching him, he's reciprocating in that way. Yes.
So we have
when Krishna entered the arena of King Kamsa, he reciprocated with everyone according to how they saw him. For the parents, he was just like their child. For the gopis, he was just like Cupid. for Kamsa, he was just like death personified. So Krishna reciprocates. As you approach him, he'll reciprocate accordingly.
Directly?
Depends. If you approach him indirectly, he'll reciprocate indirectly.
Yes.
Approach him through the material energy, he'll approach you through the material energy. Yata, yayatava. As you approach him, he'll reciprocate with you. Is that okay?
You were explaining earlier that Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. So I was curious, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he freely distributes his love for the terror. So could it be said that he does interfere with free will?
No, distribute means you can pick it up or take it or leave it. Pradayate, Krishna prema pradayate, giving it away. He says, I'm giving it away, and if they don't take it, I'll take it back. I've come to sell these fruits. If people don't want them, I'll just take them back. So it's not forced. There are those who came in touch with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and didn't surrender. Who was it that Ramchandra Khan came in touch with Nityananda Prabhu and told him he could sleep in the cow shed. Gave no. Wouldn't give him the time of day, as they said. He had free will and misused it.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
It's on the information of, I forget the tailors.
Could you speak up, please?
Sorry. In the Krishna book, there is the example of the tailors that refuse to give the cloth to Balaram Krishna. Why is it that, as well as in this example, why is it that sometimes people directly refuse to give something to Krishna?
Why do people refuse to give something to Krishna? No good reason. Because they're Vimukha Chaitasa, they've turned away from Krishna. So they'll refuse. The Brahma Yogi Brahmins, why, when they heard Krishna Balaram are nearby, they're hungry to give them something. Get out of here. Why? They weren't actually interested in Krishna. They were interested in their yogyas and their elevation and their punya and all of that, but they weren't actually interested in devotional service. Taylor was asked, give some devotional service. Get out of here. That's free will. You want to serve, you can serve. You want to reject the proposal, it's up to you also.
Was it the Brahmins, and I think I remember it was because, so it was the tailors, they were more interested in the position of being servants of Kamsa.
Yeah, they're interested in, you know, I'm the tailor. Who are you to ask anything from me? They're puffed up by the false prestige. That line is there in Paradise Lost. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's the mentality. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. You know, so what kind of good reason is that? But that's the reason. I'd rather have my independence. I'd rather call my own shots. I'd rather be the center of things, even in hell, than to have to be a devotee, to have to serve, even in the spiritual world. That's the mentality. I bow to no one. Prabhupada points out the time of death, they bow. Dandavad pranams.
You know, the example you were just explaining about the Brahmanas who never offered the food to Krishna, and they were more interested in carrying on with their service, so to speak.
So to speak.
So what is the devotional service?
Yeah, their interest was not in serving God. Their interest was in their own advancement. And not even spiritual advancement, but by doing jagya, by performing our dharma, by performing our prescribed duties according to our dharma, we'll get punya. By punya, we'll be elevated, and by being elevated, we'll have happier life. Maybe we'll go to the heavenly planets and we'll enjoy there, or whatever it is, we'll enjoy a better life because of following these dharmic principles. So their dharma is actually aimed at artha, getting some profit. With the profit, they'll satisfy their material desires, kama. And maybe at the most they'll hope for moksha. I'll get free from all material reactions. But the center of interest there is not the Supreme Lord. Even if they worship the Supreme Lord or one of the devatas as part of their yajna, it's a kind of, it's not really because they're devoted to that deity. It's just the person's going to do something for me. You know, I give a bribe to a government officer, it's not because I have great devotion for him, it's just because he's going to get my job done. And then once my job is done, I don't give a damn about him. So they're doing these jagyas, and maybe they're worshipping Vishnu, or maybe they're worshipping Shiv, or maybe they're worshipping Ganesh, or maybe they're worshipping all of the above. But their goal is not to devote themselves heart and soul to Vishnu, or to Shiva, or Ganesh, or anybody. Their goal is sense gratification. And finally Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. That's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And yes, you do your duty, that's all right. But finally, you can give up every other duty for the sake of serving me, taking shelter of me. Krishna is not simply advocating, do your duty. That every karmi is doing. Every materialist is, every pious materialist is doing this duty. But Krishna doesn't descend to this material world just to tell people to work hard or do their duty. The purpose is, sarva dharman pratyaja, finally give up everything. Mam ekam sharanam vraja, surrender to me. Manmana bhagavat bhakta madhyaja mamaskri, become my devotee. That's real dharma.
So keeping Krishna is center of everything what we do. Is that the devotion?
And everything for the sake of satisfying Krishna. That's actual devotional service. When it's aimed at my own satisfaction, that's devotional, you can say it's devotional service, but it's mixed with fruitive intentions, with material motives. But pure devotional service, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmajana, it's devoid of any other purpose except to satisfy Krishna. And that's what our job is. That's our real, like the hand. The hand's job is not to give 80% of the food to the stomach and keep 20% for himself. Job of the hand is to give 100%. And the hand will be completely nourished. And he wants to keep for himself. It's not right.
So how do you
develop
that attitude? How do we know that, what I'm doing, I'm actually pleasing Krishna?
That we learn in the association of devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised us always to associate with devotees in that association. You know, you go into business, how do you know that you're investing properly? How do you know that you're keeping your books properly? How do you know? You associate with the experienced businessmen and you see what they're doing. And then you come to learn how to do business properly. What will make a profit? What will kill the business? So the business of the devotees is to serve Krishna. So if we associate with pure devotees, we'll learn how to do it. Okay.
You know, we understand that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish the Varna Ashram Dharma system, which includes obviously the Brahmin group of Varna. So what is the difference between the Brahmins that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish? Because he would always say that they're the head of the society. So what's the type of Brahmins that Srila Prabhupada wanted? And what
devotee Brahmins. Not yogic Brahmins. Not just guys who perform marriage ceremonies to make money. Brahmajana iti Brahmana. Real Brahman means he knows Krishna. Real Brahman means Vaishnava, finally. Real country means Vaishnava. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted that, yes, the work should be divided according to different varnas, but all the varnas should be devoted to Krishna. What is that? Tapumbir dijashreshta varnashrama vipadasha svamuskitasya dharmasya. Samsiddhi haritosha. Perfection of performing my karma according to varnashrama karma is haritosha. Satisfaction of Krishna. That's the purpose. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Not people who are interested just in satisfying themselves.
So what's their role in the society then? Exactly. What's the Brahmin?
Teaching. Brahmin's business is to teach. Kshatriya's business is to protect. Vaishya's business is to protect the cows and cultivate the land and see to economic development. Tribute business is to assist. They have different functions to perform, but all of them should be doing it for Hari Toshana, for the satisfaction of Krishna. So he's saying, the 18th chapter, also Krishna says, Yatat Pravitir Bhutanam. Yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanam tam abhyasya siddhim dindati mahavrat. Human being becomes perfect by doing his performed, his prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. Otherwise, simply doing my duty without the aim of pleasing Krishna will be inadequate. It will be wanting. But when we, all right, now I have to please Krishna, what do I do? Well, according to my duty in society, I can do that. If I know how to farm, I can farm. If I know how to protect, I can protect. If I know how to teach, I can teach. But I should do it all for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for my own material and different advance.
I just wanted to ask you, mentioned very first question that when a person is attached to money, Krishna takes it away. So can we say that if Krishna doesn't take money away, the person is not attached to the money?
Does Krishna not take money away if someone's not attached to it? Well, first of all, it's not that Krishna only takes money away. This taking money away is especially in this context for someone that he favors. Someone's trying to make spiritual advancement, but he's got some material attachment. Krishna may favor him by taking away everything. If he favors him less, he lets him keep it. But when he really favors him, he takes it away. But sometimes Krishna also sees that, all right, he can keep it, no problem. Sudama Brahmana. Right, give him a palace of everything. It's not going to change him. Otherwise, Krishna may take away, just by karma, someone makes a lot of money and loses a lot of money. That's business. It happens all the time. It's not because of a sign of Krishna's special favor. Of course, it's also Krishna's favor. If you get smashed materially, that may be fortunate, if you take it as fortunate. Did that answer your question? I'm not sure.
Just about Sudama, I just was hearing that Krishna gave him all the opulence.
Sudama?
Yes, because he was attached to austerity. To this austerity.
Oh, yeah, that we've seen also, that he was attached to austerity, so Krishna finished that off. Then someone starts thinking, well, maybe I'll be austere, so they can stay there. The mind is really something.
Maharaj, in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord's saying that four types of people surrender unto me, Chaturvedi Jantina, in that narration, Srila Prabhupada explains that this should be considered Mahatmas, because they've approached Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates them because there is an exchange of affection. Prabhupada uses the word affection. So what's their position then?
They've approached Krishna. They're neophyte devotees. They want money. So they approach Krishna. We've heard that you've got all the money. Please help us. Or they're in distress. We've heard that you can deliver us from distress. Please help us. Whatever it is, we're curious. We've heard that you can answer our questions. We want knowledge. We hear that you satisfy the demand for knowledge. So they're actually interested in those things, in freedom from distress, in money. But because they're approaching Krishna, Krishna takes it, well, they're approaching me. They could have approached Lord Shiva, they could have approached the bank manager, they could have approached this one or that one. Instead, they've come to me, so Krishna takes the positive side of them, they're approaching me. Yes, so it's a start. That's called neophyte devotee. They have some material motive, but they're going to Krishna. So then Krishna starts working with them in such a way that gradually they'll lose their material motives. Surrender to him. Dhruva Maharaj was like that. He wanted some profit. He wanted a kingdom. And Krishna arranged it in such a way he got the kingdom, but he became completely Krishna conscious. Lost interest even in having such things. Shall we stop here? Was that another question?
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned that Krishna knows past, present, and future, and at the same time, he's very favorable to devotees who have surrendered unto him.
You have to speak double loud.
Sorry. You mentioned that Krishna knows
past, present, and future, and
at the same time, he's very favorable towards devotees who have surrendered unto him. But yet, at the same time, Why do a lot of devotees go through a lot of difficulty?
That can be answered in two ways. One is because they're not pure devotees. They have material attachments, and their attachments give them difficulties. It's not the pure devotional service that gives us difficulty. It's the other stuff that we want to hold on to while we're performing pure devotional service. That's therefore we have difficulty. I don't want to give up my attachments. I want to fly and I want to stay on the ground at the same time. Well, it's going to be hard. So that's one thing. Another thing is Krishna's kind, so he gives difficulty. You thought you were going to just have it easy and have your cake and eat it too. You're going to be my pure devotee and be attached to your sense gratification, your maya at the same time, your illusions. You're going to approach the truth but hold on to your illusions. I have news for you. So out of kindness, Krishna created some difficulty.
So would that be the same situation where, say, for instance, like Imara went through a lot of difficulties as well?
Yeah, that also sometimes to glorify the devotees.
Yeah.
Why does Krishna put the Pandavas through so much trouble? They don't really need it. They're all pure devotees. But just to glorify them. If they just inherited the kingdom and lived happily ever after, there'd be nothing to talk about. But because they went through so much trouble, they're glorified. So sometimes Krishna does that, Prahlad Maharaj. If he just inherited the kingdom, if he just inherited the kingdom, his father died and that was the end of it. But he had to go through so much trouble because the Lord Krishna wanted to glorify him.
Maharaj, I have a question about three modes.
Three modes.
I've always had this doubt, like, if we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for quite some years. For instance, I haven't properly framed my question, please forgive me, Maharaj. But what I mean to ask is that, like you said, that when we are surrendered to Krishna, one is not affected by so is it proportionate to how we are surrendered accordingly? We are unaffected, or...
Yeah, if I surrender to Krishna 50%, I'll be 50% free from Maya.
I just want to ask one more thing, Maharaj. In relation to my question, to complete it. For instance, I might resolve in my mind that, okay, I'm going to wake up early for all these next days and I want to chant extra rounds, for instance. But I have noticed myself that if I've sat down and sometimes as if my mind will just get clouded and I won't, as if something else takes over and I've just decided I want to chant, but then I just become maybe lazy and I think, okay. Whereas my resolve was, maybe it's not strong enough. So what I'm trying to ask is, because we're in the material world, we will be faced with these three modes, undoubtedly, no matter how hard we are trying, or where we're trying hard enough, we won't be. I think
they're always there. Material nature is not going to go away. But when one is purely Krishna conscious, then he navigates it without compromising his spiritual position. Maya is there, but he's not affected. Haridas Thakur, Maya came and invited him to enjoy. Thank you, I'm chanting. Yeah, it's not that she wasn't there, she was there, but he was inoculated. Wasn't affected because he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The more one surrenders to Krishna, the more he sees Krishna behind everything, the less he has problems. When we see something other than Krishna, that's when we're in difficulty.
So the example you gave, Maharaj, that's a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. He's a very pure devotee, Haridas Thakur.
Yeah.
But for a devotee like myself, I've been trying to practice for a long time.
So you have to practice. The, you know, we resolve that tomorrow I'm going to get up early and chant all my rounds, and then tomorrow comes and I'm tired. And so it's not just that I resolve once and the job is done. It's a surrendering process. Therefore, at every moment, we have to be focused.
Yeah, I think when I was I'm a bit more clear in what I'm trying to ask. How should a devotee, what should a devotee's mood be so that he's not, because it can be quite disturbing, you know, when you've decided something, but then as if involuntarily, without your control,
and Krishna says again and again, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyam yata. Wherever the mind goes, because it's nonsense, bring it back. Atmani eva shamya, bring it back under control. It's a process. Not that, you know, I surrender, I sign a paper, and from now on my life is dedicated to. There's a process. Enthusiasm, patience, determination, following the principles, associating with devotees. Again and again, Krishna wherever it goes, bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtani Yasadhani.
So I can really pray very hard to Krishna to help me when I feel the modes are attacking.
Yeah, depend, pray to Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna.
Sorry for asking this question, but I think I just
moving somewhere. Okay. That's all right. Kirtaniya Sadhana. Come on, chanting Hare Krishna. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All praise to you.
Sanjay Shagar Swami Maharaj
Ki. Jai.